Vardian, get in. Close the door.
Sure. Hey, Dylan. You've been busy up here.
Yeah, this is what work looks like. I've been trying to figure out a solution on the monster ecology problem. I need a couple of sigils in the right spots.
Dylan, are you sure about this?
I wasn't entirely convinced magic existed until last week, Aram. I'm not certain about anything.
I assume this is one of those things you weren't quite sure about?
I mean, I could probably get better materials for this if we had more funding.
Well, for $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they are released. For $5, you'll get those ad-free episodes early, along with audio DM notes featuring Dylan and I recapping what went into producing each one.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DM's notes, along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels also get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we've got left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 Patreon tiers are available with 7-day trials for new subscribers, so head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want a free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster.
My name is Aram, and my pronouns are he, him. I'm the producer of the Dungeons & Dragons podcast, God's Fall.
My name's Dylan. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm a physicist from Canada.
Welcome to Kill Every Monster. This week on Kill Every Monster, we are featuring the Black Dragon.
The Monster Manual describes the Black Dragon as creatures who loathe seeing the weak prosper and revel in the collapse of humanoid kingdoms. They make their homes in fetid swamps and the crumbling ruins where kingdoms once stood.
We are joined by Austin Taylor. Austin is a professional podcaster, narrative designer, game performer, and therapist. They are one of the designers of Deimos Academy and a cast member on Transplanar RPG. You can find Austin over on Twitter at Sailor Scout Austin. Welcome to the show, Austin.
Thanks for having me. I'm ready to bully Dylan.
I am particularly excited.
We've gotten some pre-game done. I've been catching shit over my dragon opinions for the last 3 weeks.
From the beginning of this show, Dylan and I talked about what to do, when it's going to happen, but where do dragons fit into what we're doing? It was brought up right away.
My answer was one episode and burn them.
And I was like, no.
Radical. Incredible.
Crazy, right? And we've been going, I want one individual episode for every single dragon.
Absolutely.
I wanted one a season. I wanted to like promote it. Absolutely. Big time. Dylan put the hard brakes on it. So now we're trying to negotiate.
You do one a season, and then you do one on Tiamat, and then you do one on Bahamut, and then you're done with dragons.
Okay, but they keep adding dragons. We'll get into it in a minute. Austin, For the people who really only got as far as dungeons in the title.
Yes.
Those people were very surprised about what the game was about.
What is a dragon, and particularly, what sets black dragons apart?
Okay, so dragons are medium to large reptilian-like creatures. They technically, I guess you could assume they start small, but they don't have stats for like a baby dragon.
They got stats for the wormling, and that's already
wormlings,
medium.
Wormlings aren't babies. Wormlings, that's when they leave the nest kind of thing.
Oh, it's shit. Like those are like those like what? Off. It's like teenager stats almost.
Yes.
Like young teen, yeah.
Yeah, they're like young teen, even though they have like a young dragon and an adult dragon, wormlings are like not, they're distinctly not baby. They did not make a baby bird for you to kill.
Right, that's exactly why, because these are the lowest stats we will tolerate you being able to kill. Yeah.
I'm very proud of Wizards for drawing that line for once.
You can kill our teens, but not our babies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah. I ran a game recently where there was a wormling hatching. And be like, oh my God, it's a baby. And I like had to pause. I was like, let me make something clear. Dragons do not come out as wormlings. This is weird. This is like meant to be like, oh, it's weird. They come out as babies, but I'm not going to stat a baby. No one should stat a baby. What's the baby stats? You're not fighting the baby. You don't need to know.
That being said, I don't know for, you know what? We'll talk dragon ecology in a minute. First things mm-hmm. first, let's finish the goddamn definition.
Yes. So yeah, it's large reptilian like beings, wings defined by having a breath weapon of some sort and usually resistance to their own breath weapon. As they get older, they get like change shape features and their actions and big old whore. They like stuff. Some like stuff. Some like stories. Some like people. Each dragon's horde is its own unique thing for what they like. Black dragons specifically are meant to be like the most bad guy dragon.
The most evil-tempered and vile of the chromatic dragons, black dragons collect the wreckage and treasure of fallen peoples. These dragons loathe seeing the weak prosper and revel in the collapse of humanoid kingdoms. They make their homes in fetid swamps and crumbling ruins where those kingdoms once stood. They are bitter fucking creatures, and I love that about them.
So I don't know a lot of old D&D shit. I'm one of those dumb new kids who started playing with 5th edition when I got so easy or whatever.
I used to play D&D uphill both ways. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know like the old books or any of that. So I don't know if it was already established or if it's like something they've gone back and done. But I think it's extremely interesting that black dragons are the most bitter because in the canonical Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, if you run it that way, a black dragon is like the life partner of Tiamat. So I think it's like an interesting thing that like she's the like bad guy, and so like it makes sense then, right? Like the relatives of her husband essentially are like pissed off at the world.
I think it's really interesting that the black dragon isn't sort of the core dragon. Because to me, black dragons are decay. That's mm-hmm. what they are. Their faces are specifically described as horrifying and skull-like, big twisted horns. They breathe acid, and they live in swamps where civilizations have crumbled. One, fucking awesome. Just metal as shit. But also, like, just for where you want to go for an adventure... I know, ye olde D&D, gold was experience, so red dragons having the horde, being the greedy ones, they became the main target. But the moment you take that step away from the treasure horde, the black dragon's where the adventure is. The black dragon's a fucking story.
I think the black dragon isn't used as often because it's too metal.
That's fair.
I mean, it's living in a crumbled civilization, so it already, like... rampage like million, like hundreds, tens of thousands of people are like already dead, and you gotta go in there and like run it off. And it's also the kind of thing of like red dragons also, when you look at them canonically, are built in to be a menace because they like stuff and humans also like stuff, and so now it's,
there's an inherent conflict. Yeah,
you're like, I want your stuff, and they're like, we don't want you to take our stuff, and I'm like, well, I'm a dragon. I'm like, oh, well, you fucking got me there. Well, buddy, shit.
Yeah, that's fair then. When you put it that way, here's my stuff.
Red dragons are the big hammer. Red dragons are the dragons that the black dragons manipulate, because the black dragons spend all their time thinking and being bitter about and being angry towards and just finding little inroads to cause established humanity damage. And if it's a red dragon, it's one of the tools they'll use. So the black dragon kind of always, like, they're more of the puppet master dragon as I would see them. And then if you do mess with them, they're also monstrously evil acid horrors, which is frightening in its own way.
Like, black dragons specifically don't hang out near society. I mean, when you get from a black dragon's lair six miles, which, you know, we all are talking about fifth edition, 6 miles is like fucking huge when you talk about your square is 5 feet. Like, when you move 30 feet in 6 seconds, like, 6 miles is like, oh, like, I'm not going that way, because 6 miles out is just like festering swamp. Like, I'm not going in there.
You have to want to find a black dragon.
I mean, even putting it into like a modern context, if you give me a 6 mile radius, that's that's a city and a bit of the surrounding county. Like,
yeah,
that's fucking huge.
Yeah, no one accidentally is coming across a black dragon. And most dragons are like that. They like to be alone. They like to be off the beaten path. You're not going to mess with them. There are some exceptions. But with a red dragon, you're much more, I think with a red dragon, you're much more likely to bump into territory it thinks it belongs, to it, right? And with a black dragon, no one's casually walking through the swamps. No one's taking a caravan.
Like, if you're in the swamp, you're either adventurer or you're like looking for something, and you can't be looking for something because that's their stuff.
Yeah.
It's also like, it's 6 miles of swamp. It's foggy. No water can like be.
It's not drinkable. Potable.
Yeah.
It's not potable. That's the fancy Jeopardy word.
Yeah. Like, imagine you take out your canteen in the swamp and it's like, this is sludge now. Okay, clearly this is haunted or something. I need to turn around.
Do you know what this is? It's there's a ton of horrible features about a dragon's swamp. One of them is ennui. Creatures that spend a year within 10 miles of the dragon's lair are filled with listless despair. Atreyu died in a black dragon swamp.
Yeah.
That is absolutely what happened. That's why they died, because a black dragon made them sad. What a terrible place to be.
Terrible, awful place. You should turn around.
And then you get just the lair actions. Anytime something has lair actions, like, that's when you're done. Like, this thing is, reality itself has crumbled. Like, the civilization has died. The swamp is rotting. And the entire swamp looked at the dragon and just went, yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Even the birds are meaner if a black dragon is around. Literally, there's a whole thing about how the birds are meaner.
In D&D, I've fought things with flare actions 2 times, and both times was miserable. And I was like, I can't imagine in the fiction of like someone, I was like, I won't leave because of the story. But honestly, in the fiction, like, you turn, you're like, listen, this isn't working. We need to go.
Fuck this.
We should stop this.
We're leaving. Yeah, I mean, the first guy who dies in the swamp because of the, like, half alive mud, it's called grasping muck in the description, where the mud will get up and grab you and drag you under. The first guy gone, you're like, you know what? This artifact, this treasure sounds great, but I don't think we need to find the black dragon anymore. I think I'm going to go be a farmer.
How much cheaper could he be? 6 mile radius, you say. Yeah. How far are we?
Half a mile in? Feet.
Whoa.
The very idea that anyone would see one of these things fly overhead and then think, ah, hand me my sword.
I can do it.
Let us go take care of this problem. It's insane.
It's like watching a volcano erupt and going like, ah, shit, fire extinguisher me. I'll get it. It's fine.
I know we've hunted mammoths. I know we hunt big things, right? But that just seems a factor beyond.
When you look at scaling, like, I got the Tiamat, like, big figure thing, like, statue fucking thing they released, and it showed up to my house in a box wider than me, and I put, like, a normal mini next to it, and I was like, scaling of this is just, like, you see her, you see, because, like, she's as big as, like, other dragons, like, she's large, like, you see that on the horizon, you're like, we need to dig a hole. Get in it and pray it just leaves.
Just gonna leave a sign. The city has moved.
It's yours.
This is one of my favorite games to play is in general. I think it was somewhere in Pathfinder. They just basically outlined that every size category is a factor of two.
Mm.
So a medium creature is roughly 2 meters tall, give or take 6 feet, more or less. So large, 12 feet. Huge, 24 feet. By the time you get to an ancient black dragon, it's 50 feet tall. It's a 5-story building, not including wings and tail. Like, no, sorry, pass, fuck off. I'm over it.
It's a smart 5-story building. It's a really smart giant attack helicopter.
So, okay, and this is where I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. In previous editions, I think up to 3.5, they might have fucked with it in 4th edition, but I'm fuzzy on my 4th ed. Dragons were spellcasters, which makes a huge amount of sense because sorcerers, and also, like, they're basically fucking gods by the time they're ancient. And they pulled that out.
I didn't build 5th edition. I'm not...
Not in the room when it happened, but, yeah, like,
I'm not Jeremy Crawford, right? That's his name? I'm not him.
I almost said Jeremy Renner, so you're doing better than me.
And they put in alternate rules to, like, if you want them to be spellcasters, right? Like, there's... They get, like, a few spells, unless it's the gym dragons, I think, get, like, a lot of spells.
Yeah, the newer ones have a lot of crazy abilities.
We're not talking about the gem dragons today. I don't have the fucking patience for that.
They also dream themselves on different planes of existence than Highlander, their dreams.
Yeah, it's really fucking cool.
We don't have a Patreon high enough for me to talk about fizz bands, okay?
Fair. Listen, I do. Send the money to me, and I will camp outside of Dylan's house until he gets on the call for us to have a fizz bands. I think the reason in my head canon is because magic as players use them as we understand it is like new magic to dragons, because dragons were already here. There was the first world is what it's called, right? And it was dragons. It was dragons, Bahamut, Tiamat was actually five separate dragons, supposedly. And there was a gym dragon god whose name I keep forgetting, who ends up sacrificing himself to try and save the world and dies. They become like the core of the earth or whatever. I'm just going to call it earth for simplicity.
Yeah, thank you.
And so the way I see it is like this new magic is like what these new gods and the humanoids brought in. And so dragons don't use that.
Not the chromatic ones. They pulled that from them in 5th edition as well. That's just a metallic thing now. And again, just weird. You're making dragons progressively less magic as time goes on. And I can fully support giving them like weird control over the land and elemental abilities and saying like, no, this is old magic. Mm-hmm. But right now, aside from fearful presence, which quite frankly isn't magic, that's rational. That's just straight up, I saw a dragon.
They're just scary.
Yeah.
And the breath weapon. Again, ignoring the fact that aerodynamics, they can't fly. With the exception of that, the only magical power they have is the breath weapon at this point, and then fluff and lair actions. Monster Manual in Black Dragon talks about how evil lizard folk just serve them, just immediately press gang themselves to bring the thing food and treasure. Just having a black dragon in the swamp generates shambling mounds that seek out and slay good creatures. They are so evil that the swamp gets up, forms a gross dude that goes out to murder paladins just in case. And any kobolds that show up go from being like a, and I am disgusted that I have to say this word, but it's the context of D&D, a lesser species. Mm-hmm. But they go all the way down to being just mean rats. Like, they are just vermin in a black dragon lair, running around with bags of bugs to torture people. Legitimately, specifically torturing people with scorpions and centipedes. They are so powerful. powerfully magic that everything near them isn't just like influenced, it's fully destroyed.
Micromanaged. It like their magic just micromanages an entire area.
Yeah, so it just seems really weird to me that like the extent of their magic is that...
That's not enough magic to you?
I want it to have magic in the stat block. I want it to be able to do cooler shit.
You want it to be able to basically focus its magic as a tool against things on a whim. Whereas this dragon they're talking about is just hugely magical. It doesn't do the same thing. I like Austin's idea, frankly, much better, where it's just a different use of magic. It's a different of interacting with it. Mm-hmm. Like this just isn't the deal dragons made with magic.
Because it's not their magic. It's not their magic, right? Like the weave is specific, like there's a god of the weave.
The weave in my head has always been like literally the fabric of reality, right? Not necessarily that there's a god of magic that gave it to people, just people interact with it. And the moment you change dragons from having the ability to cast spells, but making it more like fucking general relativity, you're so massively magic that the reality is warping around you. You've fucked up space-time with how fucking magical you are.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't cast spells, but that is the manifestation of what it is. The dragon itself is magic.
Or their wings are like solar energies.
Exactly.
And they just collect the magics, just like the weave collects the magic and gives it to the peoples.
And I think, you know, when I run dragons, I do try and think of ways like, you know, they're not in their lair, but how could they exert their will in other ways? You know, I do think their stat block, especially adult black dragons, could use something that makes it feel like, besides breath weapon tail attack,
yeah,
bite, breath weapon, tail attack, like I think if it's not in its lair, like it feels like it should have something else in its arsenal that's like,
it should be able to actually inflict that corruption.
Yeah, exactly.
Black dragons should be able to go gaseous. Red dragons should be able to something. Like everyone should have their own ability, their own...
I actually did that. I just realized I did that in one of my games. Yeah, when you're hit by a black dragon's breath attack, you can't... It's like, instead of damage, it like cuts your hit points.
Yeah.
So if you take 60 damage, like you've like, it's...
You just have 60 fewer hit points. That's it. Yeah. That it doesn't heal.
Yeah, it's fucking gone, and you can do some quests or something to maybe heal it, but I wrote it as like, unless you use a wish spell, like it's fucking gone. It like this thing corrupts life. That is what it does. Because I think like you said, like they are decaying, and like that needs to be reflected somehow, and that's like in a like mechanic wise, like it's an ability, right? And so it has a cooldown, and I roll for it, but it can do that, and that's you should really fucking leave me alone.
Yeah.
Or even just like abilities that wouldn't affect the fight with the player as much, but giving it like a siege effect, the sort of thing where if you piss off a dragon, it comes near a castle, it'll rot it. Civilization decays in the presence of a black dragon.
Yep. It should be able to take down the underpinnings of your castle and collapse the walls. Absolutely.
Black dragons specifically, a lot of dragons do kind of have like hunting grounds and you can coexist with them and they're a problem.
Yeah.
But black dragons are one of those locationally locked antagonists, right? Like it lives in its swamp. It's mad. And it has
a Shrek.
Emissaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just got a bunch of lizard folk swarming around that it refers to as donkey. Every single one of them.
Every one is donkey.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you work with a black dragon for a plot? Say I make you run a game where a black dragon is the antagonist. What's your move?
Let's say not even that you live in the next town over, because I think if a black dragon swamp starts spawning, like people are like, all right, this town's fucking done too. We got to move four towns away. Like everyone like, let's leave. To me, that's probably how it like encroaches territory. It's just again, by existing, people are like, we need to go. Until it becomes a larger settlement's problem. And the way it makes it the larger settlement its problem, even if it's far away from its lair, is it by existing spawn shambling mounds who just come attack people. People with evil in their heart are like feel a pull from something to like come to this swamp to do its bidding. I think it creates a very interesting way to run a game of tiers of big bads. I love anime, and I love how in anime there's like the bad guy, and then there's the badder guy, and then there's the badder guy, and then there's the baddest guy who sits in a chair like this.
Austin has leaned back with his finger to his temple.
Like that's the guy they gotta get to, but they gotta fight all these other guys first. And that to me is like the Black Dragon. He's, you know, sends like this lieutenant is like, they didn't make it back.
Interesting. Send the next one.
And they're like, are you sure?
Yes.
These motherfuckers keep coming from us from somewhere, and we have to figure out where and why they keep coming and why they won't leave us alone. And eventually find out it's this Black Dragon, and now you have to get to it, so then you have to fight through, you know, 15 miles of swamp and shambling mound spawning.
A dragon will 100% fight a war of attrition.
Oh, yeah.
That is absolutely, they would just, that grinding despair would drive them forward.
Black dragons, I think, are cool because they will play the long game. They will send 15 emissaries who like run for council, and maybe only two win, who start stealing money, they start poisoning the water. I think a black dragon is a good one for a political game because they're not going to come fight you.
I don't know if this was in an actual world book or this is just something I have in my head, but like elven cities are going to have portals. Elves are going to have the most robust transport system in the universe because they have enough time. It's not that big a deal to fucking put a gate down. But that means that if an elven city falls and a black dragon just manages to slowly push people out of it and then just show up, you have a swamp that's now just popping up at various points through the world, just rotting elven civilization from the inside out.
And that's the kind of thing a black dragon does, right? That's like, they're a young black dragon, they're like,
there's an elven city nearby, you say? I just have to find one elf with evil in their heart?
Yeah. Just one.
I just need one claw hold, and I can take this whole city down.
Because the ancient dragons are so big, and so few games get past even like level 10 or so, it becomes really hard to write games in it. But once you get out to that level, once you're really considering that, like, this thing's mere existence generates shambling mounds, it recontextualizes the idea of draconic cults. When you're looking at a young dragon or even an adult dragon, something that an adventure could reasonably fight, it just doesn't feel right, you know? Like, oh yeah, of course these are worshipped by kobolds because kobolds are not really impressive and just have the general species-wide trait of, oh wow, huh, that's my boss.
But a creature like a black dragon can get you from level 1 to level 20. This can be the big bad that was hiding in the background the whole time, that was fueling half a dozen other big bads that are all, you know, that are all just mid bosses on the way up.
Well, I mean, and especially a black dragon, you talk about spellcasting and like they don't have shape change, but a black dragon just needs to convince one mid-tier spellcaster to cast polymorph for it to come. You like, oh yeah, don't you remember the shopkeep? You'd see every like midpoint in the arc, you know, when you went back to like fuel up, that was me. This guy cast polymorph for me and I thought it was hilarious to sell you like tainted healing potions.
Maybe they can't cast spells, right? But a black dragon can use a magical item. Come on. They can pick up wand or fiddle with a ring and figure it out. It would just work.
But that's also the thing, right? Is like if you're ancient and you have that ability and you have, like they mentioned in the stat block, finding magic items in crumbled civilizations, like it would learn to cast spells.
Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, manipulate the magical energy that was captured by the mortals.
Yeah, do the full sorcery thing. But that's why it seems odd to me, right? Is like, if you have access to it, if you have the ability to read, then there's no reason why it doesn't become a sorcerer, right?
That's the thing, because I think in 5th edition, it always feels like it isn't that everyone can use magic. Because I think it's warlocks get described as like the reason they become warlocks is because they can't like access magic the usual route or whatever. And so sorcerers get born with it and wizards can learn it, but they make it seem like being a wizard's really tough.
That's also the weird thing about sorcerers. They get it because of their draconic bloodline, but the dragons can't cast the spells.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, there's an inconsistency here.
That's fair.
Because I do think that in the case of warlocks, you're right. It's that they can't learn to do it. I feel like in the case where it's like I turned to being a warlock because I couldn't hack it as a wizard is actually a case of incompetence. I don't have innate magic because I'm not a sorcerer and I didn't go to school, so I'm not a wizard. And then I met a guy who was like, hey, sign on the dotted line. I promise it'll be fun.
Yeah.
It's not always that way, though. Like some people would rather just not try. Maybe you just rather lick boots and have superpowers than put in the effort. I mean, sometimes it's just easier.
Listen, man, I've been in school for a fucking decade and I want to die.
I'll sign the deal with Satan. Give me my PhD.
Yeah.
There are good warlocks. Okay?
There certainly are. No. I absolutely. They're really cool.
No, there are good warlocks, just no good PhD holders.
Yeah. Everyone with a PhD is a dick, and one day I will be the biggest dick of all.
But I did forget about draconic sorcerers because I don't play sorcerers.
So did wizards. Yeah. Look, it is all, none of it lines up and none of it makes sense whatsoever.
Nope.
There needs to be some consistency with magic. If there is a separate, if magic is a force, right? If there's just this force named magic and weave is just like a way of like catching and funneling the magic and dragons are simply like a magic battery so they absorb more magic, whatever. Like if that's how individual creatures can exist with it, that's how it should be. But if you're going to set that up, you then need to firmly establish how much of it there is. And the last thing wizards ever wants to do is turn to you and say, this is how much magic exists in this world. Eberron does it. Dragonlance does it. Like different settings establish their levels, but wizards doesn't want to tell you. They just want you to be like, here's some very rough math. Figure it out.
Because there's like six different ways for a black dragon to arrive at it, it's just one of those things where I'm like, just give him polymorph.
Yeah.
Just let him turn into a dude. Let him wander into town. Because like you said, I do love waves of villains. I think that's one of the best ways to handle a campaign. But also, I love taunting the players. I ran Strahd once, and I would be goddamned if more than four sessions went by where Strahd didn't show up and go like, hey, so that's cute. I see what you're doing there. So do you want to come to the castle yet? No? All right, okay. I'll see you in a bit. Oh, I killed all your horses while you were sleeping. Bye.
Perfect game for you, Dylan.
I had a lot of fun. Is the black dragon a monster?
No. Well, no, you know what? Let me back up. You're an operationally defined monster.
Okay. My general rule is we have a sliding scale. On one end is beasts. On the other end is humanity.
Mm-hmm.
If you are an animal, like a tiger isn't a monster, it's not clever enough to be a monster, right? If it does things that are bad, they're not out of malice. They're out of just doing stuff. People, other end of the scale, you choose to do bad, like you are kind of a bad person, but you can't make that ruling across people because it's not nature, it's choice. Monsters to me are that middle ground. It is something that by its being, not by choice, it is evil and does malice, like does malicious things.
Verbatim read with no critical thinking, I suppose, but I think when you think about it, I don't think they're monsters necessarily. If you go back and look at the canon that they've now given us, I think black dragons are trying to get by in the best way they can in a world that doesn't want them there, and they know doesn't want them there because their progenitor, right? Like Tiamat is the progenitor of chromatic dragons, was literally manacled, shackled, and dragged down to hell by every single, like, every god. Imagine you go to a party and everyone is like, yeah, let's take you to hell. Everyone. And your brother's just like, I'll visit you.
Yeah, no, that's fucking fair.
Yeah, it is fair. It is fair. And if we think about dragons like we think about people, it's very fair. mm-hmm. but they're not their dragons. And for me, dragons are primal. They are the things they are as much as they make them up. A dragon is acidic. The very essence of its being is acidic. It exists to corrupt and destroy. And not only that, but it revels in it. It drives itself to these problems. Lots of things exist in decay in a balance. This doesn't. This seeks out opportunities for more. I think by its very essence, it is a monster. It exists to do nothing but cause the worst type of pain.
See, this is the thing where I sit at, is I think just by the barest slivers, like, it is the furthest along the track you can get while still qualifying for monsterhood. When you take Fizban's into account, when you add that layer of, like, no, basically, when you make dragons a very strange case of being the most powerful colonized people in existence.
Yeah.
The moment you make it like, no, the gods showed up, created humanity in their image, and were like, what? What's already there? Lizards. No. Lizards are disgusting. We need furry things. That one's got too many heads. Put it in a hole. You got the right number of heads. You can hang out. What would you do to change the Black Dragon in 5th edition?
I would, per our previous part of this conversation, I would give them some sort of spell, something, either like a table you can roll on for like an item, like they have, like if they are adult or older, like they have at least one relic or something that they figured out, and they might have others that they haven't fucked with, because attuning is like a hand wave thing, like DM's like, you attuned to it, you did it, let's move on. Like, I think if you haven't grown up in an adventuring life, like as a humanoid, you may not know how to do that. So like, maybe they have one relic they've like figured out, like, how do I make, like, I know this is fucking magic because all my people told me, and I'm too proud to ask them how to use it, so I'm gonna figure it out.
I'd even cut around that, like, dragons themselves are magic. I wouldn't go as far as like true sight, but just give them like a permanent detect magic. They just look at it and they're like, I'm pretty sure I know what that does. That's boring.
Yeah,
it's like one in 1,000 items where they're looking at it like, wait, how does that? No, it can't. Let me see this.
What I gave it in my setting, which is the, like, I think I call it corruption breath, as another breath weapon. I think they could all do with like an extra breath weapon that just has a different refresh of, you can use it like the acid breath. It refreshes on 5-6 on your D6. I know that's balanced. I don't fucking care.
Honestly, if you're fighting an ancient dragon, balance is over. It was like 15 levels ago. Just fucking make it cool.
That's the thing. Make it cool. That's the thing with dragons. Like, if they're not cool, if they don't all feel cool and unique and different, that's the biggest sin you can commit with them as far as I'm concerned. The thing that I did with them for my game to make them feel different is that I gave each dragon an offensive magical power, like their breath weapon. So they all have an offensive magical power, a defensive magical power,
and a
movement magical power. So, and that all themes together. So the black dragon can turn into this acidic mist. The bronze dragon is kinetic, so it could basically create a pulse of energy and push everyone back. Everyone had their own kind of thing that mm-hmm. tied in and gave them extra powers. And as they got, like I think when you were young, you got one of the powers, and as you got older, until you got ancient, you got the last one, right? So they kind of unlocked really cool. as you went down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just made them feel a little bit more different and, frankly, more powerful.
I would give a black dragon, I think, a summoner feature to bring to summon a shambling mound. Like, if they spawn them, why can't they, like, be in a fight and be like, I need like four of you.
Especially because, like, that's the thing you throw in, like, a sidebar of just like, hey, here's the quick stat block for the little swamp demons that it brings forth. Mm-hmm. Given enough time, in the middle of a fight, it'll pull out 2d6 swamp demons and their little shitty, shambling, barely blights, basically.
Yeah.
And if it's sitting there in its swamp and it's like, it's going to be a couple of days, I'm going to put some work into this. That's where the Shambling Mound comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Just effort.
I also, like, I could see the black dragons with some kind of corruption ability. Or given enough time, they can corrupt anything. Any magical item, any construct, any book of magic. Like, give them enough time, they'll corrupt anything.
If paladins rest too near to their lair, or if you're in the radius, you're fucked.
Oh, God, but like, I'm already fucking excited.
I love fucking with paladins, right? God, because they're like so fucking, like,
they're fuckwithable.
There are some.
They're a maximally fuckwithable class.
Plus, they got it coming.
Yeah.
Because like wizards are like just arrogant, right? You're like, I'm going to corrupt you. And like, I'll take your deal. And they're like, I'm really going to backstab them. And you're like, okay, bud, sure. You're going to trick a 2,000-year-old dragon. Okay.
Of course I am. I went to university. I'm going to trick the 2,000-year-old being.
I'm going to sleight of hands them. Hang on, guys.
I just love how each class is easy to fuck with, except like fighters. Because they're like, hey, you want to make a deal? Nah, man, I'm just going to stab you 5 times.
They'll punch you in the face.
Like, yeah.
Dude, come on. No, right in the face.
What have you done? You've taken my sword? Okay, here's the thing, though. I just won't roll the dice.
Yeah. Fighters bite.
1 point.
You know what I mean? Fighters will bite. I'm like, fuck, god damn it.
Because, like, martial artists are, like, doing flips. Rogues are trying to, like, sneak and, like, steal the fucking ring. Or wizards, like, oh. Yeah,
I don't even have pockets. Fucking, what is the rogue doing?
I think all dragons should be able to change shape.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
This is the thing, is I don't necessarily think. I always say they should get spell casting, but I mean, like, they should have some plot abilities, like fucking change shape. Give me a weird burst thing. Make them intimidating.
I think they should be able to change shape, but I just thought of a way I would explain it in my own head, which is it was taken from them when the humanoid gods showed up. Fuck those humanoid gods.
Yeah.
I think that is fair. But also, give me mythology for my monsters that I can slot into stuff. Everything as written in the monster manual is fine for me to build a world and be like, and there are black dragons in it. But the moment you start introducing all of this shit in Fizzbands, I'm like, yeah, I guess. And in my world, there were a lot of dragons, and then it was aliens. And now one of the dragons is the middle of the. Shut up. Fuck. No. Stop it.
Right. It's a lot. There's a lot of space everything needs to take up. You know, we've talked about this a couple of times now. If all the giants exist and all the dragons exist and all the demons exist and all the purple worms exist and all of these things exist in a world, like, they take up a lot of space. These are big creatures. They have huge areas they'd have to roam. They eat tremendous amount of things, just the resources alone. But then when you look at, like, the physical area you need to, you know, parse off for these creatures to exist in, it doesn't work.
Even to have two adult dragons,
right?
Even to have two adult dragons is like that, like two adult dragons,
500, 600, 1,000 miles, right? That would be their range.
Two adult dragons existing in the same like country is everyone's problem. Like,
everyone's.
Yeah, like we need to figure, we have to kill one of them right now.
So I know that two of you are in Michigan, I'm in Ontario, and between that province and that state, max 4 dragons.
Yeah.
Max.
Absolute maximum.
Especially because they'll be the ice dragons and they're such assholes.
No, you're only going to get the white dragon up near the top of that. Like, you'll.
That's true. They're the super polar ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere around
maybe,
like,
Alaska gets a white dragon.
Once you hit the Canadian Shield, you start getting into, like, maybe you have a green dragon. That'd be pretty cool. I'm figuring black dragons are showing up around Michigan. You guys some gross territory where you'd get a black dragon in there.
There's one.
Hard to justify a blue or a red in our neck of the woods, but, you know.
Yeah.
If they're really into, like, livestock.
Yeah.
We got a lot of livestock.
Detroit's 100% got a silver dragon, though. 100% a downtown silver. Yeah, absolutely.
It's just hanging out. If you're taking the D&D world as written and you're like, oh, no, the metallic dragon sided with Bahamut and became part of the whole thing with the gods and they can do the change shape and it got taken away for that's great. That's fantastic mythology. But that's like real world specific.
Oh, so that means they sold out the other dragons, right? Like if that's what you're going with, they sold, like, are they the good dragons? Okay, maybe, but that's just because they say so, because they wrote the book. I mean, they sold out all the other dragons, are they really the good ones? I don't know.
And I think that is the most interesting thing to me when I went through Fizbens as like a raider and a dragon lover and a black dragon lover is like, it's written from the point of view of Bahamut as Fizben. And, you know, he talks about like them as like the good guys. And I'm like,
no, you're not.
Man, this is a bunch of white people made this book, huh?
Yeah. Front to back, Fizben is an asshole. He is just like, you do not want to be on Fizben's side. This should be a Wicked story. That's how the dragons need to be presented, because I really do feel like it's not written the right way. And frankly, it would be the gold dragon that would be the vain one. It would be the silver dragon that would be manipulating people the most. It would make the most sense.
So here's the thing with that. In reality, obviously, like in terms of just raw person to person, all people are essentially equal. And then there's the huge amount of societal inequality. So like when you start talking about colonialization, like, you need to decolonize things. Like, we need to make room for people. We need to make a bunch of space, and we can somehow start to move back to a territory where people are on equal footing. When you set up a world where the colonized people are the dragons.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, bud, but the only like moral thing at that point, when you try to decolonize thing, is literally the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I have no idea how you even begin to try to navigate that problem.
So what is the moral thing to do? Release Tiamat? Like, I think like front to back, start to finish, she is pretty clear that like, regardless of how, like when you talk about like real world implications, like she's pretty clear. Like, I mean, I'm going to burn this world to the ground. Yeah. Period. Yeah. Like, yeah, this, like, care. I'm fucking over it. Like,
yeah, whatever concessions you make don't matter. Go, you know, go ahead. I will kill you all.
Right. If it is like a colonization story, like, fair. But
we can't, though.
Well, that's the thing. Like the Waya, don't give them, like, if you're going to make it a force that you absolutely cannot reckon with any other way except to try and destroy or defeat, don't make them right. Just don't make them right.
But again,
yeah, like when I read that intro for Fizbens, I'm like, huh, this is compelling, but now you've made the good guys the bad guys.
Yes.
Now, like, the black dragon, like,
is right. Especially when he's sitting there like, oh, they're spiteful and malicious creatures and they revel in the collapses. And no, you fucking destroyed their world.
Yeah.
And they're watching you fall apart under your own power. It's just that people are bad at stuff. And so the society collapses and they're sitting there going like, fuckers.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you want to write a story where it's like, you know, humanity is kind of a disease and the dragons were like good, I'm all down for that. I am 100% down for that.
That ain't what they were aiming for, though.
Nope. No, it wasn't. It wasn't, which is really important because it would have been a great story. And if it's not, then you can't do that. Like, especially as, you know, as an Armenian, it kind of rubs me the wrong way when I see stories where they're like, yeah, this immensely powerful group of people who had all the power, they're the ones who are suffering. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. That's never how it works. And that's bordering on offensive. And I don't like it. It doesn't make any, you can't tell a story that way. It also sets up this idea that some people have real valid beefs, but it costs too much to give them justice. That's how it feels to me, and I don't like that story.
I know. I think that's why I wanted to talk about black dragons, because like, what do they want? They want frankly, like, the closest to a team I want, which is like, I want the world to be a festering swamp. Like, I want each one of you dead and nothing left but rot. And there's no, like, okay, well, there's no way for me to give you that and for me to be here. that is like to an unreasonable concession, right? If someone's like, nothing will do but the world burning, I can understand being that mad. We need to find a middle ground. But if you're at the world burning and I'm at the world not burning, there's not like half the world burning.
Yeah, there's either convincing them the world's worth not burning or nothing. That's the play there. You have to convince it. No, you know what? You're right. You're right. But maybe we're worth a second look. Like, that's the only way to win that one.
But that's sort of the thing is like a one, D&D, not the system for it. Not the place to tell that story. Two, a millennia old, not millennium, millennia old dragon. And you're like, no, but come on. I'm going to show you how nice my dad was to our dog. Like, what are you going to show me that's going to fucking impress me?
Like, what are you talking about?
It's why I love black dragons specifically. It's like white and green dragons respectively are terrifying hunting animals. They're very, very clever, but they're also like generally written to be solitary. They do their own shit.
They're like, solitary and like bestial.
Red dragons have an immediate and direct motivation that puts them into conflict with people. But like, it is stuff.
And if you give them stuff, they're probably just going to leave.
Blue dragons are cool, but also like they live in the desert and like I can pretty much just leave them alone. That's fine. It's the black dragons where it's like, this is a villain that hates you and is waiting for you to die. And if it starts taking too long, they'll just speed it along and nothing else will do.
Yeah, the only thing that's going to happen is it's going to hate you more because.
Yes.
And look at it this way. I'm a 46-year-old man. Mm. I look at some 18, 19 year olds with the best possible intentions who seem to me to have very optimistic or myopic views, but who really are just have the best intentions and are going out there trying to make the world a better place, right? I have limited patience for them. Imagine if you're a black dragon and you're looking at some 35-year-old king, you're 3,000 years old, you're looking at some 35-year-old king who thinks they know everything, raising the third or fourth city in the place that you have destroyed and burned to the ground three times prior. Imagine the disdain you will show for them.
Aram, what's going on? Why is all of our stuff in boxes?
Good news, Dylan! Dead Ghost Productions is moving.
What do you mean moving?
We're separating our patrons and launching a new Dead Ghost page to provide our listeners with more content and a clean RSS feed for all their podcasts. Stacy is helping us out with the heavy stuff.
She's a bit clumsy.
Okay, so that makes sense, sort of. What about the people who have already subscribed?
I've got it handled. Everyone who is currently subscribed to our Dead Ghost Productions level or our combined feeds level will get a free month once we split the feeds on June 1st. If you're signed up for a yearly subscription, you'll get just as many free months on our new Dead Ghost feed as you currently have left on that subscription.
Okay, so what do people have to do in order to make the switch?
It's easy. Everyone will get a link to activate their free subscription sent directly to their email. They just need to follow that link to the new Dead Ghost patron and they'll be all set. The changes won't start until June 1st, and if anyone has questions about it, they can email us at killeverymonster@gmail.com or deadghostproductions@gmail.com. They can also message us directly in Patreon.
Okay, this better not interfere with my experiments, Vardian.
Don't worry, Dylan. I've told Stacy to stay clear of your laboratory. How do we safely power down the nuclear generator again?
Aram, what was that?
Good news. I found a dragon.
No, you didn't. Dragons aren't real, Aram.
Oh, they are quite real, Dylan. And very clumsy.
All right, I'll play. Why did you bring a dragon here?
what better way to promote Kill Every Monster than with an actual dragon? We may need to pump up the Patreon just a little.
For $2 a month, supporters on patreon.com/killeverymonster get access to ad-free episodes as they're released. For $5, you'll get them early along with audio DMs notes featuring Aram and I discussing how we made each episode.
For $10 a month, you'll get audio and video DMs notes along with extended cutting room floor content that didn't quite make it into the main episode.
We also have a $25 investor level and a $50 producer level. Support at these tiers ensures we can continue to produce Kill Every Monster and allows us to hire more talent from the community. Both levels get a personalized shout-out at the end of every episode, and producers get a welcome pack of each official Dead Ghost and Kill Every Monster pin we have left in stock.
The $2, $5, and $10 patron tiers are available with a 7-day free trial for new subscribers. So head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster and check out everything we have to offer at no cost to you.
Want another free way to help the show? Give us a review. Written reviews are amazing, but even clicking 5 stars is a huge boost. Podcast reviews are the best way we have to get the show in front of new listeners. You can leave reviews for Kill Every Monster on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast Addict.
Find all the ways you can support the show and leave us a review at patreon.com/killeverymonster.
Tell me about your lair.
It is an old ruined elven kingdom. Palaces made out of like the surrounding nature that used to exist. So they're like, there's like rock and stone with like trees growing up through them and stuff. There are a few statues still standing for some reason that haven't been ruined that look like they're being kept pristine.
That's an interesting choice.
As you move further out from like the it looks like an adventurer's fucking wet dream, because it looks like this big old ruined like elven capital.
Oh yeah, the huge center of town, almost temple like near to cathedral level town hall, and then the town square lightens out.
Bunch of gold in there for sure, for some reason from modern time. Why is that there? That's totally normal for me to find here.
Someone's tucked many chests beneath those ruins.
You know, you wander into like a Chernobyl and you're like, oh wow, look, modern day $20. That makes sense. This is here. That essentially is what adventures do.
Look at all this ammo these engineers left in their locker.
I mean, we say this, but at the same time, like, what's an elven lifespan? Like 700 years?
Yeah, before they get the like elf juju going, but that's a different podcast for me to talk about weird elf
but
lore.
That's like 3-4 generations and they're still using the same coins. Like, sure, an elven currency exchange will take this shit 100%.
It's, you know, it's a perfect system. Like, if you use gold standard, gold doesn't like, it doesn't really change,
doesn't really age
people
out.
Don't really care if it's like a different gold coin. They're like, I mean, it melts down the same.
Tell me what you generally do in your lair. Is this like a long-term hibernation, or do you go out hunting?
I have a human druid I've convinced to go hunting for me. They think I am a, what's the I think the brass one's the good nature-y one, right?
Gold dragons are good, but kind of removed. Silver dragons are really good and very invested in people. Bronze dragons are good. They're just like, they kind of still live in the middle. Like, they're good hermits, basically.
But anyway, this human druid thinks they are helping a gold dragon, because they've never seen me, because I'm like, your mind will unravel. So they go out hunting for me and bring me stuff I need, or anything I ask for, really.
Then, yeah, what are you generally doing in a standard day?
Just waiting. I know they'll be here soon enough. I'm pretty sure the witch, the hag, down the way got my message to send them along.
Yeah, did the hag tell you I was coming, and how did that happen?
She probably sent it via message or sending. I mean, that's like pretty basic magic.
It was definitely spiders. It was her, so it's good. They're gonna arrive via spiders, yeah.
What was the fucking spider's name? Michael just scurried out of a clearing one day.
Michael.
Did the whole fucking babe thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael talks exclusively by sewing words into his webs. Yeah. Takes a while.
She got my message to send the paladin my way.
That's our cue, Aram. What do you look like stumbling into this old elven ruin?
So, when we last saw Nathaniel Territon, he still carried a lot of the vestiges of being a paladin. He still has his armor. Well, he has slightly different armor. He has a new shield. He has a new sword. He has acquired things in his couple of years in the swamps and around the swamps, the local villages near the swamps. He has been on many quests seeking out this very elusive creature. He's in there somewhere, but even those he has talked to who have dealt with this dragon have only heard whispers. They're very, very good at keeping themselves out of direct view. That seems to be their MO. So I've spent a long time searching, and I have kind of adapted to where I'm in. I wear a heavy cloak now down over my eyes. I have new scars from the various battles I've been in. I am a darker, quieter, more sullen creature now.
You were given the story when he first arrived of this paladin coming in. The arrogance still had that glow about him. So when you get the sense of something creeping into the edges of your territory, and you can feel that shattered little corpse of a man, it's perfect.
I mean, it's all according to plan.
Your dealings with the hag, I think they probably give you these sort of spider messengers frequently. Do you have, like, some of these as, like, minor sentries about the place? Or is this something that runs entirely on, like... Honestly, you've managed to somewhat deify yourself. Do you just have, like, awareness of your domain?
I know if something's entered or not, and most of the time I can't be bothered, but... It's, by my calculations, about time for it to be my special guest, so I will start making my way downtown. I do think when you are making your way to this ruins, this area that is my home, there's a heavy fog within, you know, 6-8 miles. But one path opens up with the fog just parts for you. And it continues as you enter into the city.
Does it kind of roll in thick and then part back? So it's a very clear kind of, okay, all right.
There's no delusion. There wasn't like a wall of fog that slowly parted. There was no, wind doesn't do that.
No, this is clearly a supernatural invitation. All right, so Nathaniel would just kind of nod as if it was a direct invitation, square his shoulders, loosen up his scarred shield arm, and head along the path.
Austin, is this a direct path, or are you sort of leading this creature through its paces?
I'm also going to start you know, using my paladin thing.
Your divine sense?
Yeah, yeah. Does that work here? Could I detect the dragon with that?
You were doing this character sheet today.
I never remember how that works. I know I got it wrong last time.
Divine sense is...
Can you detect?
I don't know if it's dragons.
I don't think it's dragons.
I don't think it is dragons. It's like it's undead like and fiends, demons and...
Rangers get dragons. Paladins, and it's fiends, celestials.
Right.
Aberrations? I think it's like the other stuff. Rangers, but like the thing that's different is paladins get like a divining rod to like go to it. Rangers just know within like a mile, like there's a dragon somewhere, and you're like, a mile is not helpful in Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition.
Right. There's a dragon over there.
And if you're in your favorite terrain at 6 miles, I'm like, that is like useless knowledge.
There's a dragon way over there.
There's a dragon like half a day's walk. Oh, cool.
So it's celestial, fiends, and undead within 60 feet of Rom.
As a ranger, you know there's a dragon 6 miles away, and then after a day of travel, you know that the dragon 5 miles away is no longer there. That's what you know.
Do you use that?
Yeah, well, I've run into a lot of things in this forest. I suspect this might be what I'm looking for, but I don't know. I've been fooled before. So yeah, I use it, assuming it might not be you, basically. So I'm just walking along the path, waving my arm side to side. And as I do like this, what it looks like is a wave of negative light. It just inverses it like a photograph as I wave back and forth.
You get a ping of something undead until you find yourself in the, you assume in the middle as like the fog clears of this ruin, and you're at this clearly meticulously clean statue of an elven woman.
Okay. Is that where the undead source is coming from?
Yes.
Okay, then I will, because I am a fallen paladin, control the undead. As an action, you can target one undead within 30 feet and force a wisdom saving throw, DC 15. On a failure, the target must obey your commands for 24 hours or until you use the feature again. A DC 15 wisdom.
Absolutely not.
I would say, reveal yourself.
You would see come out of the statue a spirit of the, you assume this elven woman, it's pretty striking resemblance.
Who are you? Why have you beckoned me here?
You don't know what you face. You'd best leave.
There are others who have thought this. I have defeated them all. I do not fear what has brought you destruction. Tell me, what do I face, Elf?
You face vengeance incarnate. You might be able to fell this one, but it is not the only one of its kind. It's discovered something I am not sure how to describe, but...
And you see her, she looks up at her statue?
It'd be best if you left.
I would look up at her statue as well, and then back down to her. Can you leave this place?
No.
Shame. And you are not helpful. And he would just lean forward, and he would put out his hand in front of her and just, like, kind of banish her back, or, like, will her back into the statue. Almost, like, be gone with you, right?
Yeah, you see her disapparate.
And he would, again, square his shoulders, stretch out his wounded, arthritic arm, and just nod, because he's sure now he is in exactly the right place. And he starts to look around for the most obvious place, or for like a entrance or a cave or some sort of large structure that would be able to contain a dragon.
So you are out at just on the edge of a town square. You can see like basically a block down, straight down the road. Everything is flooded, ankle deep water. The plants are growing out of control, but unpleasantly. Like, when things are overgrown, it typically implies leaves. You need leaves for photosynthesis, for growth. These don't. They have thorns. They have just... It's just rude, quite frankly. It's what would happen if your gardener hated you. It is wildlife grown with malice. And down that way, in that town square, you can see essentially a cathedral.
I would eye that cathedral. I would go up towards it, and like a smart person, right, would walk around it, check the exits, right? He doesn't do that. He walks straight to the front doors, throws them open.
You see a young but large black dragon, assumingly staring at you. And so you realize its eyes are like no one's home. Like it's like looking, but not looking.
He would expectantly wait for the dragon to raise their head, stretch, make a speech. Anything?
No.
All right.
It just sits there still. I don't know how long you sit there.
Just like, you know, the 10 seconds it would take for it to be awkward.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. Then those 10 seconds, like, you just feel awkward.
When that feeling starts to build, he nods, takes a step forward. He sheathes his sword, pulls out a hand, a crossbow. He's got a shield in the other hand. And in the hand, a crossbow is loaded a bolt that is hollow. And you can see like there's like a little glass vial in the center of it. And there's this bright green powder stored in that glass vial as part of the shaft of this crossbow. And he just starts to cautiously take a few steps forward, leading with his shield. I imagine there's like pews to either side of me, and I'm walking down a middle aisle, and then towards like the altar is where this dragon is.
There were pews arranged church-like, except then a creature that is the size of a large horse with a wingspan of more horses started walking down that path over and over again.
My size is horse. My wingspan is more horse.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, you picture the wingspan of a bird, it's like another 2-3 birds on either side. You're a couple horses wide when you got the wings out.
I think while you're moving down the pews, you hear, like, movement, but not from this thing. Psst. Psst. Over here.
I would look over.
And you see a person in, like, animal skins with, like, a staff.
And I would look back towards the dragon. They haven't moved?
Nope.
Okay, and I would oddly, like, I would, all right, and I would kind of hunch down and, like, go into the pews and... Hello?
You shouldn't disturb them while they are meditating. If you wish an audience, just merely wait.
Well, when you say them, you say there's more than one. This is the second time I've heard that there are more than one of these creatures.
Oh, yes, they are a legion.
How many are in this particular area?
As many as there are stars in the sky.
So that seems unlikely.
I want you to roll me a history check.
So that's going to be 17 total. 16 plus 1.
So you immediately start running through possibilities. Elven cities, particularly elven cities this old, usually have some sort of connection to the Feywild. If they're corrupted like this, that connection might port over to the Shadowfell, but it could just be an elven magic thing, where it basically fractures the image of an individual so they can appear in multiple places at once. Honestly, be in multiple places at once, but at the same time, like, each bit is a fraction of the power of the... You basically run through 30 or 40 possible explanations for this. It is coherent, but the least likely option is that there are actually hundreds of dragons.
Right, I would have seen them. I've been here for quite some time. And also, they are large, and it'd be difficult to hide that many.
You have a plus one intelligence, Aram. You,
jeez. I'm playing it well, I think.
Okay.
So,
with that, I would look at this person, and you are...
Oh, I am... Shelter.
Shelter?
Yes.
And I would just kind of like move my little, you know, divine sense over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just kind of wash him a bit in it. Like, anything pinging?
No, just seems like a dude.
How about this? I assume they've been a problem for you.
Yes.
Well, me personally, no.
But others, yes.
Oh, yes, there are some from the Grove who didn't approve, but...
Fantastic. Then when I slay this one, you can tell them it was I that freed them from its yoke.
When you slay this one, Raph from beyond the skies shall find you.
A problem for another day.
And he would draw his sword and turn back towards the creature.
When you turn back, someone's home. But still just staring at you.
Greetings, creature.
I do have a name, you know.
My apologies. Mine is Nathaniel. What is yours?
You may call me Vindicta.
Vindicta. An appropriate name. I shall make sure it graces your tomb.
Which one?
He would pause for a moment there, because he's not quite sure what that means. He only has a plus one intelligence. And so he stops. He's like,
which one? Have you died before?
I've died and been born many times. You look confused, though. Surely you know what you face. Surely you understand what you're standing in front of. Where you are.
I have been sent to find a dragon.
True. I needed to speak with you. So I had a friend send you along. You were taking too long.
He pauses, he stops, like maybe 50 feet away.
Why would you send for me?
Because it's fun to see people fall so very far. Because I was bored, and because there's nothing you can do to stop me.
This is kind of the same attitude I got from the hag, just a little different. Like, this is the second person that's been amused at my presence, which is not the vibe I've been going for. I feel like I'm a toddler who wants to be taken seriously, and everyone around me is like, aw, that's so cute. And he's just getting madder and madder. So he just clenches his sword and he lowers his head. He's looking at you through these heavily lidded eyes.
And there's this scraping noise off to the side. And when you look over, there is a lizard folk, maybe you and a quarter tall, dragging a fairly decrepit looking, malnourished deer. Drags it in, sees you, looks over at the dragon, pulls by the antlers one last time, drops it, gives a little, and then it leaves.
Thank you. I'm sorry, what's your name? Nathan? Nathaniel? Was it?
Nathaniel. And he watches this person leave and then turns back towards the dragon, looks at the deer, looks back at the dragon.
Would you like some?
This is dinner, I assume?
Well, I already ate. It's more of a tithe, so I'd hate for it to go to waste, though. I'm sure you've been looking for so long.
He would laugh at that and just kind of shake his head. What is this place?
this place, so it's my home. But this building specifically was a church to... Coriolan? I can't be bothered to remember the names these people give themselves.
As you were, like, stumbling over it, the one in the furs almost, like, goes to do the whole finger up, like, I'm about to answer, and then you go get to the, I can't be bothered to remember, and just see just immediately, like, oh, we don't care. Sorry.
So I'm about, I'd say, 30 feet away now.
So, I'm sure you're wondering what's going on, and who I am, and why you're here, and when will you be done on this endless nightmare of a life? The important questions you with such little life to live won't ask yourselves. I can provide some answers.
The only thing he wants an answer to is how does he get back all of the power and respect and admiration he once had before he was a fallen paladin. He wants all of that back, but he doesn't want to make any changes and he doesn't want to learn anything. He just wants his position and authority and respect back, but he wants to keep the powers he's acquired and doesn't want to make any concessions or learn a damn thing.
I want to be a bad guy, but also people like me.
Yes.
You seem to have people that like you. How did you do it?
Yes, he used to be really liked. People respect him. Children would laugh and like run up and he would give them sweets. And he liked that. He liked that respect. He didn't care about being part of the community. He didn't care about any of that. He just liked the respect. And he has fear now, which is okay, but it's useful, but it's not the same feeling he had when he had respect, and he wants that back.
So you want to have your cake and eat it too, then? You want all of this, but you want people to pretend they don't see you for what you really are.
They can see whatever they wish. I've earned that respect as much as I have earned this power and this sword and this shield. These things are owed to me, and they have been stolen.
They get up and move just like 10 feet closer.
I couldn't agree more. I know all about things being taken that are yours and the disrespect from those who don't understand your power. I could help you with that.
How?
I mean, a little, I scratch your back, you scratch mine.
You say, as a giant, even as a young dragon, as a talon the size of my forearm comes up and clacks against the ground as you say, I scratch your back, thud, right? Yeah, and he would eye that come up and nod and listen to the pitch.
But I've spoken a lot. What can you give me that I don't already have?
And he would look back again at the deer. And then his eyes would roll back towards the dragons. I can certainly do more than a rotting corpse drugged to your feet.
Interesting, I hear there are a few new settlements between me and the next kingdom over. I'm sure there's all sorts of delightful things there.
What do you want? Speak plainly.
Oh, I want the same thing you want. Power, respect, and what's back that's rightfully mine? By birth.
He would think about this. But the problem is, in his head, the problem he's getting to is like, yeah, he could do this. He could absolutely enforce the will of this dragon, help it expand its territory, help them claim more land. And the people would learn to fear him more. But there's no path to respect there. This dragon cannot give him what he wants because the people will never respect the dragon. They're just going to fear it. The only way I have to get what I want is to bring them your head.
Even if they respected the dragon, you would be a thug.
Just another common thug. And I want to be a hero. So he'd think that, and he would turn back to you.
and he would lean back, and he's got his sword up, and he's got his shield along the top of it now, and he's definitely taken a stance. Sadly, though, you do not have what I require. Not with your head attached to your body.
You know, you'd be shocked how many times I've heard that.
This one will be your last.
It is quite delightful. You believe so? As I said, I've died many times and been born more times than you can count. But if you wish to settle this the uncouth way, then I shall oblige your hero's folly.
As this conversation is happening, Nathaniel can, like, look over his shoulder when he hears the little scrabbling. As that man in the furs fucking runs outside of the blast radius. And I think we're going to roll for initiative.
Thank you for joining us for part one of The Black Dragon. For more information about us, notes for each episode, and ways you can help support the show, head over to killeverymonster.com.
If any of the ideas we've discussed on the show have sparked some of your own, tell us about it on Twitter at KEM Podcast. You'll find me at DJ Malenfant and Aram at Aram Vardian.
For ad-free episodes, early releases, bonus episodes, print-ready maps, our new audio DMs notes, and my character sheets for each encounter, head over to patreon.com/killeverymonster. You can also listen to ad-free episodes and bonus content by subscribing to the show on Apple Podcasts.
Our intro theme and many of the sound effects you hear in the show were created by BattleBards. Check them out at battlebards.com.
This episode was produced by Aram Vartian and Dylan Malenfant. I also did the editing. Our guest was Austin Taylor. You can find them on Twitter at SailorSCTAustin. And if you are anything like me and all of that information just fell right out of your head, you'll find everything you need at killeverymonster.com.
And we'll see you next time for Kill Every Monster.